This hour of Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. This is Overdrive on TSN 1050.
All right, Gordon Miller's in here. I got to get that out of the way. I got to make sure people know.
What?
I got to make sure people know you're in here, Gord. You're going to be in here all week. You're going to be in here a lot during the summer. You have a very distinctive voice.
Okay, that's fine. I didn't want to step on toes yesterday and start talking before you introduced me, because I know you're very particular.
I am very
about where
particular.
People sit.
Yes.
And what they say.
Right.
And what they do.
Right. Well, I wouldn't say I'm particular about what you say, but I will have a response if you say something that I don't necessarily agree with.
I might do the same thing to you.
And that's what makes for good radio.
There you go.
And we got a couple of things to get to out of the gate here. One, I think we're going to open up the phone lines today, because we brought this up just a couple of minutes ago. We were coming into the studio and like, maybe we'll open up the phone, see what people are saying out there. I'm assuming it would be 90% Leaf Tavares calls. But I think Marcus Stroman is probably causing a bit of a stir in the city. He was awful again last night.
Yeah.
His numbers are absolutely terrible. There's no excuse for these type of numbers.
It? Like it's the weirdest, like it's the oddest thing, because normally in baseball, when you get a player, you know what you're going to get, right? You sign a free agent outfielder who hit 300 last year. He's going to hit roughly 300 this year. It depends where he hits in the lineup. It depends who's in front of him, behind him, that kind of thing. But for the most part, you know what you're going to get. Pitching, even more so. Pitchers don't have, for the most part, gigantic great years than terrible years. And sometimes they don't get as much run support. But, the curve is pretty flat.
Right. Like the stats, like ERA, WHIP, different stuff like that that breaks down. You're right. Sometimes you get lucky. Sometimes you get unlucky. Sometimes you have injury problems. And Stroman has run into that this year. But he has been so inconsistent throughout his career. And we're talking the highest of the highs and the lowest of the lows. Like when he blew out his knee back in the spring of 2015, I remember being in here and the news broke when I was on the air. I was doing 12 to 4 back then. And it sent shockwaves throughout the city. And people were freaking out because he had come up the year before in May and he put together really good numbers, former first-round pick, big personality, easy guy to like, lots of good stuff. And that conversation has changed over the years as well, the reaction to his personality and what he brings on the field and off the field. But when he blew out his knee, it felt like that could be a precursor of what's to come for that season. It went the complete opposite way. But we wrote him off completely. We said he's done. Yep. This guy grinds day in, day out, and battles his way back and makes his season debut at the Bronx in New York when the Jays were fighting with the Yankees to win the AL East, and he went legend.
Yeah.
And they get to the playoffs. He knocks Price out of the rotation. He pitches game 5 of the ALDS. He went legend so quickly here in Toronto. And last year, he was spectacular. And this year, I can't make any sense of what is up with Marcus Stroman.
So last year, he was the tentpole for the Blue Jays, really. He was, you could argue, the bright light in their, he was probably the bright light in their season. Right?
Him and Smoke.
Yeah.
That was it.
You could say that, and then this year, Hap's been the same thing this year. For the most part, right?
He has, but he has a very, he's getting traded, so it takes on a very different view, right?
It takes the shine off it a little bit, but it is weird. Like, it so rarely happens in baseball that you see that. And so you wonder, what's his future now?
I wonder if they're going to field calls on him between now and the end of the month.
Because you'd take a chance, wouldn't you? If you're a major league team, I'm taking a chance on him. Because it wasn't that long ago that he was...
But that's where it's a gamble, and it's difficult to get a read on how the Jays are going to approach it from their perspective as well. Because he's got the stuff. He proved it last year. 200 innings, a 3.0 ERA. He was great. But he's very inconsistent. And something's off here. And I do wonder about how much he puts into his brand, how much he puts into social media. He hasn't been an easy guy to deal with from the organization's standpoint.
Maybe he plays Fortnite too much.
Wouldn't be the first athlete to do that.
That's one of the weirdest stories of the year, the accusation that the Price...
Yeah, David Price. That's what cost him starts and injury problems.
His wrist was sore from playing Fortnite.
Like carpal tunnel. From playing Fortnite.
So I was thinking about this last night. We were talking yesterday about you know, John Tavares coming to Toronto, what a big thing that is for the Leafs to get a Toronto guy. What I was thinking is how rare it is for one of the major teams in Toronto, the Blue Jays, the Leafs, the Raptors, to have a guy from the start of his career and finish it here. How unusual. Like, you think about the greatest Leafs,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, go since not, like, Teeter Kennedy, whole career here, still apps, whole
but
career.
But the last 30 years, 40 years.
Yeah, like, Wendell Clark didn't finish here. Doug no. Gilmore didn't.
Didn't start here.
Frank Mihaljevic didn't finish here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dave Steeve didn't finish here. George Bell didn't.
Halliday
didn't.
Delgado. Wells.
Vince Carter. Like, it's a strange thing here. That I think it's great. I mean, for Tavares to make that statement as a Toronto guy who wants to come here, the next step is for a guy to be here and stay here till the end. Like, well, to have that Derek Jeter moment.
Yes, absolutely. The leader in the clubhouse is DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah,
and that's why, you know, I've made this case many times before. If there's the first number I believe should be up in the Raptors at the ACC should be number 10. I don't think it should be 15. I think Vince should wait. Vince wanted out. There's a penalty that comes with that.
Okay.
I would put DeMar DeRozan's number up there.
He's the all-time leader in minutes, right? He's played more minutes for the Raptors than
anybody. He's got every record for the most part.
Here's a weird one for you. I was looking at it today. Dave Steeb is the all-time leader for innings pitched for the Blue Jays. Who's second?
I would say Halliday.
Jim Clancy.
That I would have never thrown that name out.
He was a horse. Right? He was just a guy who, he wasn't always great. He was a bit like... remember Dan Petrie, the Tigers?
The old innings eaters.
Just 200 innings every
a lock. Like, guy's got a five ERA.
He might go 10-10. He might have a five ERA, but yeah. he'd give you
let him pitch.
Give you, and before bullpens were so specialized, right? And you had to. But wouldn't it be great to see a Toronto athlete start his career here, have a great career, and finish it?
Well, and I think from a Maple Leaf perspective, that's why there are multiple reasons. I would make the argument that this is still Austin Matthews' team.
Right.
I think he's equally as talented as Tavares, might be more talented. I think he's going to be the better player. And I think that's saying something because Tavares is a very, very good player. But I think Matthews has a step up on him in terms of his size, in terms of his skill. I think he can be better. I think he will be better. But the fact that he was drafted here, stepped right into the league as a Maple Leaf, and there's real potential for him to play here for a long, long time. And I think go down as the greatest Leaf of all time if he spends 15 or 20 years here, and certainly if he mixes in a Stanley Cup.
If he's not one of the top five centers in the league now, he's really, really close. Like, he's right on the doorstep of being one of the five best. And I mean, if he scores 50 or, you know, whatever next year, one of the three best centers in the league.
Right.
I think he's a superstar. I think he's... He's Kopitar with better feet.
And a better shot.
Yeah. Kopitar's a little bigger, but not by enough to make you say it's a deal breaker.
I totally agree with you. He's an absolute superstar.
The problem with the cap, of course, is near the end of guys' careers, they get dumped for a bunch of reasons.
Right. And you can't cross that bridge until you get to it.
Yeah.
You know, but for the purposes of this conversation... It's Matthews, Marner, and Nylander would be included. They're homegrown talents as well.
Morgan Riley might finish his career here.
Morgan Riley, absolutely. And then with the Raps, again, it's DeMar DeRozan. In terms of guys who were drafted, like, I'm not sure Tavares would be included in this conversation
because
he was acquired via free agency.
Yeah, and he comes midway through his career.
Yeah.
I mean, a guy starts his career in Toronto, is a star, and then retires. Like, walks off the court, skates off the ice, walks off the field. You know,
I don't think it's ever happened. It hasn't happened in my lifetime.
George, like, Armstrong played his whole career here.
Again, that's you're going way back.
You're going way back.
But in terms of the last 40 or 50 years, there has not been anyone close. Now, in large part because the teams have not supplied players with the willingness to stick it out and to stay here. And the ability to win year in, year out, or at least have the idea that you might.
And for long periods of time, for the Raptors and the Blue Jays, this was not a destination. Right? This was not a team that, this was not a place that people wanted to play.
Mm.
Canada, whatever, you know, the whole bit, right? Whereas the Leafs, a little different. But you're right. It just struck me today, I was trying to think about it, because we were talking about this yesterday, like, you know, legacy players and the great players. And I started looking at Blue Jays and thinking, like, Robbie Alomar didn't finish here. You know, Lloyd Mosby didn't finish. Jesse Barfield didn't finish. Like, they all played somewhere
else. They all moved on, yeah. No, you're right. And you look at this current Blue Jays lineup. If you had have asked me last year, I would have said Stroman's got a shot. If you asked me 2 years ago, I would have said Sanchez absolutely has a shot. Yeah. If you had have asked me the past couple of years, I would have said Osuna. But closers are different. Bullpen guys move around a lot. So maybe he wouldn't have been included in that. But honestly, if I had to put money down on the Blue Jay within the organization that I think has the best shot at being here, even in 5 years, it has to be Vladdy Guerrero Jr.
Does it have to be a Blue Jay now?
No, that's the truth. Like, I don't. If I was putting money down, do I think Marcus Stroman is here in five years?
No,
I'm not putting money on that.
Oh well, if you had to guess yes or no,
I'd say no.
You'd say no, right?
And the same thing applies with Aaron Sanchez with the injuries. There's just too much uncertainty with that.
Now, when we look around at other teams, is this common to other teams? Because majority of teams. I mean, Jeter had his moment with the Yankees. Mm-hmm. I mean,
well, you look at a guy like Joey Votto. Like, he's been with the Reds his whole career, and for the most part, they've been a tire fire. They've had some really good years.
But don't you think at the end of your career, there is something to be said for being in one place and being recognized as one of the franchise's greatest players?
Absolutely. But I do think it's incumbent on the team to make that goal achievable for the player and make it accessible for the player. Because what you get is, like, a guy like Sundin's a good example. Now, Mats didn't start his career here, but he spent years here and is a legend in Toronto. Got to a point where the team was so bad, forced him out. And that's a shame that he ended his career as a Vancouver Canuck. Just kind of dragging ass in Vancouver, and he got paid a lot of money, but he was out of shape, and it just didn't feel right.
And the whatever bitterness there was about his refusal at the deadline, and you know, there's still some people out there that are bitter at Matt Sundin for not accepting a trade at the deadline that year, right?
Absolutely. And honestly, I understand it from the fan's perspective, because it's difficult to call for that respectfully because of who he is, but you're a fan of the Leafs before you're a fan of an individual player. So if you're a fan of the team, it was for the best interest of the team for them to try to trade him and bring in as many assets, because everybody knew they had to blow it up and rebuild.
Part of the thing with the Red Wings was Yzerman retiring as a Red Wing. You know, and the fact that he was there the whole time, and Del Vecchio was, you know, I mean, for the most part, right? Those guys were. But it's just not. Maybe today we're expecting too much. Maybe to say that today.
With the salary cap, with how explosive...
And free agency, everything else. I mean, but the weird thing about the Leafs is how often the departure of the great player was ambivalent. You know, Keon, Sittler, Gilmore, Clark, Sundin. You know what I mean? Like, there wasn't this sort of... There was kind of a bad taste to it.
Yep, for sure.
Would you say?
Well... And they all went out in different ways. You know, like, Gilmore kind of was like, get me out of here, I'm ready to go on. Yeah. Wendell, it was a shock. He would have been there at the draft. Now, he came back eventually, and I believe Wendell actually did retire a Maple Leaf, but he left in between.
And he was barely a Leaf when he came back, he was only a Leaf for a short time.
Right, and it was a very different time. The team was going south, and Sundin kind of retired and then unretired and goes to Vancouver. So they all went out in different ways. You know, the Raptors have a totally different history because the majority of the players that they haven't had great players.
Well, you know, Vince Bosch is pretty good.
Very good
players. McGrady was good.
Yeah, and those are going to be Hall of Fame guys. Like, Vince, McGrady, and Bosch, I think, are going to go to the Hall of Fame. But never, you know, truly high-end. Like, even Vince, there's revisionist history in this city in terms of how great he was. He was a spectacle. Yep. He had great talent. I'm not disputing that. I mean, that series against Philly, he had a couple of 50-point games, if I can recall correctly. But that he wasn't better than Kobe. He wasn't better than Duncan. He wasn't better than Shaq.
And thinking about, and I remember the time, thinking how crazy it was he went to his college graduation the day of Game 7.
Yeah. Which, I'm not sure he took enough heat for that. That was absolutely ridiculous.
Now, the guy that I covered the Raptors when they started, Damon Stoudemire, was... Like, I'd come off the Blue Jays of the early 90s, and those guys were a handful, right? You had some big personalities that could turn on you in a heartbeat. But Damon Stoudemire was a whole category unto himself.
Well, and he won Rookie of the Year. I don't think he wanted to be here at any point. Couldn't wait to get out.
He certainly didn't appear to want to be here.
No. And I believe he used the, well, Isaiah's not here anymore, so I'm going to go to routine, which is bogus. This is what does bother me is you hear these guys now, and I've interviewed Stoudemire, and now he looks back and he's like, oh, I wish I stayed. Don't give me that garbage. Don't pander to Toronto now.
Do you know why he wishes that? Because he'd have a legacy. What team did he finish his NBA career with?
He was in Portland for a long time, but I don't know where he finished.
I don't think anyone could answer.
Memphis, maybe? I don't remember.
I don't know anyone could answer. And that's my point. Mm-hmm. It's not like he had a signature career.
Well, Vince is doing the same thing. Like, Vince is in Sacramento.
Yeah.
I think. Like, he's all over the place.
Like, he's played for three teams this year.
He's all over the place.
No, you're right. And the question would be, would you like to have an 18-year career with seven teams or 15 with one, I guess? But obviously the 18 years because you get paid every year, but... There is something to the fact that when you turn into a suitcase at the end of your career, like I remember Yari Curry dragging around for Colorado. Now, I saw him in Edmonton when he was, I think, the best two-way player in the game. He was an elite goal scorer. He killed penalties. He played against the other team's best forwards. He was unbelievable. And then watching him drag around with Colorado at the end of his career was sad.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember George Bell with the White Sox.
I don't even remember that.
I remember doing a game he played and, you know, just...
Yeah. Well, Jordan to Washington.
Yeah.
Favre at the end.
Babe Ruth is a St. Louis Brown or whatever he was.
Right. Yeah. Bobby Orr in Chicago.
Yeah.
Like, that's not right that Bobby Orr didn't end. Now, that was injury riddled and all that.
And,
but
and ownership and all kinds of.
But still, he should never have been a Chicago Blackhawk.
Yeah.
Never.
It's a strange sort of. But Yaz was a Red Sox, you know?
Mm.
And Ted Williams was a Red Sox. But he managed the Washington Senators, right? Like we can't expect, like, I guess the one thing is you can't expect the players to retire when you want them to retire. That's up to them.
Mm-hmm.
We can't tell players when to retire. We can't tell them when to play. Like, if they feel ready to play, if a guy's had three concussions and wants to play and he's cleared to play, that's his decision. We can't make that decision
for him. No, but you can't criticize teams for continuing to employ them if they're not capable of playing at a certain level.
Right.
And that's when it gets ugly.
If they're just doing it for box office.
That's when it gets ugly.
But now it's Willie Mays stumbling around.
Exactly. And you're watching this and you're like, why is this guy here? You know, like what, like case in point, today, big news out of Montreal, Shea Weber having meniscus surgery and he's out 5 to 6 months. He is on contract, I believe, until he's 41 years old at a big cap hit, big money.
If he retires a year before that contract's over, Nashville takes a one-time cap charge in excess of $24 million. Now, he'll almost certainly go on what's called long-term injury, LTI. Like
they all do that. Pronger did it. Datsyuk
did
it.
He'll show up 1 year, flunk his medical, and that'll be the end of it. Right? And he'll get paid. The insurance company will cover it. I always wonder if the insurance company ever sits back and says, you know what? Let's look into some of this stuff.
Why aren't you at least attempting to play?
Yeah.
And are you at the gym every single day? You know, like that's what we had in Toronto.
But you want that NHL insurance contract? You're not going to start... Throwing up those question marks, right?
I guess. I mean.
But to your point, I mean, at any rate, like, the problem in Montreal now is, and this is your, you know, you were saying yesterday as a Leaf fan, we got Tavares and the Habs stink is the cherry on top. Now in Montreal, they got to rehash the Subban deal. Anything happens to Shea Weber, it brings Subban back in the
mm-hmm.
So he's got pictures of him with... Lindsey Vonn, you know, posting your USA single swimsuits today and just lighting it up, or yesterday, and the Canadians are announcing that Shea Weber's going to miss 6 months.
And they're taking heat because everything they do in Montreal takes heat because it appears like everything they do is wrong. He had surgery like 2 weeks ago, and they didn't announce it until Bergevin was finished doing all his media, and then he could disappear, which I think he deserves a ton of criticism for that. That's a ridiculous move.
You know
move.
What? Just take that and put it in the pile.
No, I understand that. But this is another example
for
of him.
He's just going to say, you know what?
You're right. But this is why he doesn't help himself. Like, you're telling me you knew Shea Weber's out until January and you didn't bring that up while we had a chance to ask you about that?
Right.
How are you going to recover from that? Like, the truth is, Shea Weber's season next year is more than likely a complete write-off. If he shows up in January, he's going to get the... built-in excuse of didn't get a training camp, didn't get to train, couldn't catch up to the game. He's already not the fastest guy in the league. So now he's coming off foot surgery and meniscus surgery over the past like 6 months. It is a disaster in Montreal.
What's worse, Ottawa or Montreal?
It's Ottawa because of, you know what, I'm going to rank my tire fires here. You can be included.
Just Canada?
Just the Canadian tire fires. Okay. I would love for you to be included, but I understand you've got a bit of a different relationship with all these teams, so you don't have to do this if you don't want.
That's fine.
If you're cool with it, then you can list your 1 through 7. I think we know what the top two teams are going to be. Pretty certain what the bottom two teams are going to be. But we will get to this later in the afternoon because it generally is, it's one of the great battles in sports, is determining which Canadian hockey team is the biggest dumpster fire. And the Leafs have held that mantle more than any other team in the country, and it's not even close throughout their history.
Hang on. Edmonton's saying, hold my beer.
Recently.
Edmonton's saying, hold my beer.
Gord, where were you in the 80s? Edmonton or Toronto?
Edmonton.
Yes. What was going on in Edmonton in the 80s?
If you're saying the 80s are recent?
No, but what I'm saying
is, the last 11, 12 years?
Right, but up until the past two, the Leafs have been right there with Edmonton.
Oh, yeah.
So what I'm saying is...
But the Oilers are picking first overall every year.
The Oilers are absolutely trying to catch the Maple Leafs in terms of the all-time record, but I don't know if that will ever be achievable. I really know, because the Leafs, I mean, recently, obviously, they've really turned the corner, and they're in a great position, but for the longest time, they were an absolute disaster. They were at the top of that summit in terms of Canadian dumpster fires, and they've held that title more than any other team in the country. I really don't think it's close when you look over their history.
Well, but the last 15 years, like since the lockout in 2004-05.
It's a battle, but Edmonton was in the cup final in
2006. In 2006, yeah.
All right, we'll get to our tire fire list later this afternoon. Quarterfinals at the World Cup starting tomorrow. We'll get into that. Phone lines will be open throughout the afternoon. 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050.
I've never taken calls on the radio before.
Well, here we go. Let's make this happen here.
Mix it up.
We have to mix it up. Gord Miller's in here, and he's looking to take some calls. I have a feeling people want to get to you.
Do they?
Probably based on Tavares and some other things that are happening in the city and the sports world. So we'll open it up. We'll field some calls throughout the afternoon. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. Overdrive delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. Phone lines are open, 416-870-1050.
I'm picturing people on the highway, like on the 401. I was roasting. Like the traffic was bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, I'd call it.
Just white knuckling on the 401, snapping. Hot takes galore.
You've been thinking, you're in your own head, right?
Yes.
Like there was a guy lane changing all over the place, zipping back and forth, and he wound up behind me. Like he's got to be just...
He might be calling in.
Hey, buddy in the red Acura who was like lane changing every 30 seconds.
Being a hero?
Yeah.
Stop that.
No, give us a call.
All right, or phone us.
He's probably still out there.
You know what? I came to the conclusion today because I've always kind of ranted and raved about shorts guy. Like shorts guy in the winter, guys who wear shorts in the winter. Like I've never understood that. It's minus 15. What are you doing wearing shorts? Or the guy, the first day it's like 5 degrees in April and he can't wait to get the new pair of shorts out that he got at Christmas. Shorts guy, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. I think those people should be forced to wear pants in this weather.
Here's what I think. I don't. You want to wear the kit of your favorite team, of soccer team? Like you want to wear a Barcelona shirt, an Arsenal shirt? You knock yourself out. Don't wear the matching shorts and socks. They call them in the UK. They call them full kit wankers.
Mm-hmm.
Like you should have to go play. There should be a minimum standard. If you're gonna go to a game, wear a full uniform.
Right.
You should have to be able to play a little bit.
Or at least like run on the field and get arrested or something,
and not be 90 pounds overweight.
Right. Here's the thing about this Tavares conversation. Now, a lot of this. What I picked up on our conversation has been about the ramifications,
yeah,
right, which is a part of it. There's no denying that. But there's many different layers to it that I'm not sure has been we've given enough attention to. And quite frankly, I think deserve a lot of attention. How great the story is, how great the player is, what this is going to mean for other players on the team, how it boosts their ability to win playoff rounds this year, if not potentially a Stanley Cup, because I don't think it would be a shocking revelation if they actually did win a cup. And you're dealing with emotions here. You know, you're dealing with a fan base, and I can speak to it more than anybody, or as one of millions, because I've been a part of it for so long, the symbolism that comes with this signing and the importance of it. So I think what's happened here in terms of the reaction to your take is you've been very focused on, okay, what is this going to do for the business? And there's no disputing that. That's what Dubas has to think of.
Yeah.
And there are going to be ramifications. People can hate it all they want. It's just a reality. It's a hard cap. This is the way the world works in the National Hockey League. But it doesn't mean that it wasn't the right move. It doesn't mean that you can't be really excited. Like, and I think that's what comes with the Maple Leafs and the reaction to the Leafs and what they do, I think, compared to every other team in the league.
Montreal.
No, people not Montreal.
Because people go haywire in Montreal about everything they do.
Yeah, but Montreal, though, has had a lot more success recently. They won a cup in 93. That's a long time ago, but they're generally a perennial playoff team this past
conference
year, notwithstanding.
Finalist, yeah.
Yeah, so the belief that Montreal can figure it out is generally granted to them. The Leafs, a lot of this self-inflicted, admittedly, based on poor management and ownership problems for years and years and years. There's a belief that if you're not a Leaf fan, and sometimes if you are a Leaf fan, let's be honest, you're biased and you look at it differently than someone would objectively. But I'm not sure it is objective analysis on the other side, because of a lot of it is, they're going to screw it up, they're the Leafs. And, you know, they can't get Babcock. Well, they got Babcock. Nah, they're not going to be able to successfully win, you know, the lottery and tank and do it appropriately and do it in a way that can be successful. Well, they did that. Well, whatever. They can't get Tavares. Like, it's always something. And now it's, well, yeah, they got Tavares, but, you know, the Caps all screwed up, so they can't win. And that's what bothers Leaf fans, is there's always something people point to next. Well, that's why they're going to screw this up.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think that the problem with that is it becomes a bit like Washington. You know, like how many years did the Capitals have to live with playoff failure that had nothing to do with them? Right? I mean, the current Capitals weren't part of the team that lost on Easter Sunday to Pat LaFontaine.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't, I mean, but they have to wear that. And I guess the Leafs, in a way, have to wear that. The funny thing about it is what happens a lot with free agents is in the market, people go crazy about it. And then outside the market, people say, what are they doing? Like, people in Toronto are probably looking around saying, like, what are they doing with that guy? What's Buffalo doing with, or what's New Jersey, or the Islanders doing with Robin Leonard?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are they doing? That's crazy. Whereas if your team signs, you go, hey.
Well, of course.
We're taking a chance on a veteran.
Good well, yeah, because I mean, you're going to spin it positively, right? So and the team does a great job of that.
All I'm saying, like, listen, I've been calling John Tavares' games for, you know, since 2007. I think he's a great player. He's a Hall of Fame player. I've just asked the question, beyond this year, how do you make it fit?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a legitimate question. Now, I'm sure they can do it. You can make any contract fit. Chicago's making Taves and Kane fit. Their team's not very good.
Well, that's, I think, in large part because of the age of a lot of these players.
And they also paid them for past performance.
Exactly.
They paid them for what they did. And
Brent Seabrook is not an $8 million player anymore.
No, and you can't. I think it's pretty hard to say to Chicago, you're going to walk away from a guy that was a centerpiece of you winning. You know, like Dean Lombardi, the GM in L.A., drove to Kenora to talk to Mike Richards because there was a buyout window. He could have bought Mike Richards out. Now, you can say this is wrong by Lombardi and criticize it all you want, but Lombardi looked him in the eye. And at the end of the day, they don't win their second Stanley Cup without Mike Richards. They don't. He was heroic for them. Like, he played with one shoulder. He played against the other team's top players every night. He scored big goals. Couldn't do it. Now, that's an emotional decision, and he got criticized for it, and it's one of the reasons
he
got fired. But at the end of the day, those are decisions that are, you know, there's a lot that goes into those decisions.
Mm-hmm. Back to the phone calls in 2 minutes. All right, Steve Phillips coming up on the Jays just after 5 p.m. Marcus Stroman struggling again last night. His numbers, man, his ERA up to 6.50. Not good.
It's hard to explain. We talked about it before. Like, it's hard to explain how in that sport you could have that much variance. And there's so little of that.
Mm.
Like, there's so little of it. I mean, remember Carney Lansford played for Oakland?
No. These are references well before my time.
He was the MVP of the American League in the 80s. Okay, so he had Ricky Henderson batting in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
He had Canseco and Maguire behind him. Okay.
How did he win the MVP then?
Well, because he hit like 390.
I guess. You're talking about plate protection.
Figure it out. So what, you know, Ricky gets on base. So anything but a fastball, you're giving Ricky second. So he knows it's a fastball. He's got those two monkeys behind him, mm-hmm. right?
Waiting just to launch baseballs.
So they don't want to walk him. So it's a fastball for a strike.
Right.
He hits 390. Ricky leaves as a free agent. He hits like 280.
Exactly. Well, that's important to point out sometimes in terms of protection
but that,
in the way.
I mean, that can happen. But
Those are drastic things
that
you can make sense of.
Yeah,
but and you can understand why.
But baseball more than any other sport, maybe basketball, but baseball more than any other sport, when you sign a guy who's been in the big leagues for a while, you pretty much know what you're getting.
Yeah, if he's healthy and he's not close to the wall.
Like, you know, he didn't forget. Yeah, he didn't forget how to hit.
Right. Miles and Markham up next. Go ahead, Miles.
Hey, boys. How you guys doing?
Hey, bud.
Thank you.
Doing pretty well.
Obviously, first-time caller, long-time listener. Love the show. Listen to you guys, well, the other boys as well, for a long time. Just wanted to get more opinion from you guys on, obviously, signing Tavares from the aisle and obviously makes us such a stronger team going forward. But what is going on with the Islanders? I don't know. Like Lou, for all the credit he's gotten in the past, I mean, Komarov, 4 years, re-signing, or trading for Martin. What do you guys think is the thought process to this, the whole everything going on there?
Miles, are you an Islander fan? You sound like you might have.
No, I'm a diehard Leafs fan, okay, so born
and raised. Because Islander fans, to be honest, are distraught.
Well, yeah. No kidding.
I mean, it's because it's not just that Tavares left. That's a blow. I mean, because.
Right.
This team looks like they're turning the corner, right? The new building's coming, right? They got the rookie of the year. Like they got all, and you walk around that corner, you get hit in the face with a pie, mm-hmm. right? And now, you know, the arena deal isn't done yet. It's you know, the permits aren't done. The framework's in place, but it's not done. And these things can fall apart. So now you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. Is that going to happen too? I don't know what's going on. I got to be honest with you. I
think Lou's on tilt. Like I think he's on tilt. I think he got his aces cracked.
His eyes are spinning back in his head.
Yeah, that's what happened. Like he thought he was in, man. He had a flush or something like that with Tavares. Hey, he thought it was money, and someone cracked him. And then,
but Martin, you can see Martin and how he played with their line,
Clutterbuck and Cizikas.
But with Komarov, I mean,
no,
like,
that's an awful contract.
Is he thinking he's going to be able to trade him at the trade deadline?
No.
I don't get it.
I honestly think, and I appreciate the call, Miles, I think Lou is putting too much stake into character and work ethic. And
well, he did this in New Jersey near the end, too, right? Like Lemorello got a lot of criticism in New Jersey for the last 5 years there, right? They made that Stanley Cup final appearance in 2012. But after that, people said, you know, he's losing his fastball, right? Too loyal to Brodeur, you know, mm-hmm. signing Ryan Clough, the Kovalchuk deal got blown up by the league. There was a lot of people in New Jersey who thought he lost his fastball. And when he came to Toronto, right, there was the same questions here. Now, the Freddie Anderson deal was a good one.
Anderson deal was a great one. The Riley and Kadri contracts were spectacular.
Were great.
I'm trying to...
Wins the lottery. Wins
the lottery. I don't think he did anything egregious here. You know, like a couple of signings,
people might question the Matt Martin signing.
Right. I mean, that's a 4 year, 2.5, but now they've managed to unload that without any scars in terms of their cap situation. So I didn't have as big of a problem with that.
You know what's funny is last year I said on the radio in training camp that I thought Matt Martin would fight for a job over the course of the season, and Lou pulled me aside and said he's in the lineup all year.
Well, that wasn't true.
No.
And that's why I've seen a lot of Leaf fans have been tweeting me and texting in saying, you know, now the Leafs are softer than they were before. And there's no disputing that. But Martin wasn't playing anyway.
No, that's such
Matt Martin wasn't playing.
That's such an outdated notion, though. That is such a...
Well, but this is... It's recency bias. Yeah. Washington had some big boys.
Yeah.
Tom Wilson was effective.
But Tom Wilson scores.
That's valid.
Tom Wilson's another top line.
Yes.
Like, he plays with Ovechkin in it.
Well, and Wilson, the Leafs version of that is probably Hyman. Now, he's not as big, as tough, but Zach Hyman's got grit, man, and he's got stones. Like, he works hard, he hits everything in sight.
Like Ryan Reeves would be a guy that you'd wonder about in that, you know, because teams want Ryan. I mean, Pittsburgh traded a first-round pick to St. Louis to get Ryan Reeves.
But that was deceptive because I believe a second-rounder came back or something
but still.
That doesn't get brought up enough.
But St. Louis drafted Klim Kostin with that pick, and he looks like he might be a real player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I mean, I think that idea of a guy who you got to be able to play a little bit. You got to be able to play a little bit.
Which Matt Martin can play a little bit. He can skate. He can hit. He doesn't have the greatest hands. He doesn't kill penalties.
But you know where the game's going. As many forwards that can score as possible.
Yeah, I agree.
What is the fourth? I mean, remember Randy Carlyle's fourth line in Toronto?
Oh, it was abysmal.
Fraser McLaren and Steve Ott.
And Jay McClement.
No, Steve Ott. Colton Orr.
Colton Orr, Fraser McLaren. And they played 4 or 5 minutes a night and just went out and fought. What I do wonder about this Leaf lineup, though, and I know a couple of people are calling on this, we'll get to it after the break, is how this is going to affect the minutes being distributed throughout the lineup. Because that clearly was a holdup for the Matthews camp. He wants more time on the ice.
Yep.
Tavares, you're not paying this guy $11 million to play 15 minutes a night. We'll touch on that next. Steve Phillips on the Jays and Marcus Stroman in about 10 minutes. Try to slide in a couple of more calls here, Gord. Are you having fun with this?
I am. First time.
First time, long time.
First time calling. I remember one time in Edmonton, a guy named John Short took calls. He had Bob Arum on.
Yeah.
Like the legendary Bob. First five calls about the Oilers.
Has to be.
Yeah.
Has to be. Ryan in Niagara. Go ahead, Ryan.
Yes. Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say, Gord, you tell great stories, and you're a pleasure to listen to. And Brian, you're awesome as well. So
thanks, caller. Ryan.
Beat it. Cut this guy off.
Yeah, you're out of here.
Oh no, my comment is hello.
Yeah, we're here. Yep.
We're just joking, man. Okay. You're good.
Okay, good, awesome. Yeah, my comment is you kind of touched on it before the break. Last year, Matthews was kind of made that he was kind of only averaging around 15 minutes of ice time, and Bozak's 5-on-5 play, his minutes were down a little bit as well. So I'm wondering, with Tavares kind of taking kind of Bozak's spot, right? His minutes are probably going to go up. So I'm just saying, is there any way, if you guys thought like a fourth line, like maybe Gauthier playing not the traditional nowadays 10 minute, maybe more going down to like a 6 to 7 minute?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I do. I think that's likely inevitable, Ryan, because I do think that was a big part of the beef between Matthews and Babcock. I think he wants more minutes. I mean, we
played 1808 last year.
Yeah, and we looked that up at the end of the year, and I think he was like 38th in the
40th
league
among centers,
which is ridiculous. That's absolutely unacceptable. And Tavares again is coming in. He's not playing 15 minutes, and Kadri's likely going up against the other team's top lines. He's playing a lot of minutes. So I do think you're going to see a fourth line center who's going to play 6 to 8 minutes a night, kill penalties. And I think their wingers might go up and down the lineup. But
which kind of goes against the analytic argument, right? That good teams have a fourth line that plays like 10 to, gives you 10 to 12 good
right,
minutes.
Right, but no teams, but no, have no Matthews, teams have Tavares, depth. Kadri, right?
Right, so no teams have that depth.
Mm-hmm.
The fascinating thing about it, so Austin Matthews doesn't kill penalties. And this went through Sidney Crosby's first couple of years. He didn't kill penalties.
That's because Babcock won't put him out there.
Oh, no, yeah, exactly. And so Sidney Crosby didn't kill penalties for Pittsburgh at first, and then did, and that's when your minutes go up.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't kill penalties, you're kind of a hostage to what happens over the course of the game. I mean, if your team takes 10, your minutes are going to be down.
Like McDavid kills penalties.
Yes.
Kopitar kills penalties. I believe they are the top two guys in the league in terms of centers for minutes per game. Barkov kills penalties.
Yeah.
Those were the three top guys. They all averaged over 20 minutes. And I wonder if that's a part of it, too. Maybe Matthews is like, get me out there. Kill penalties. We'll pick up on this later this afternoon. Try to slide in some more calls throughout the afternoon as well. Steve Phillips coming up. We'll get to our 1 through 7 tire fires of the Canadian NHL teams as well. Gordon
Rose in here.
You
don't have to travel all over the country, do you?
No, that's the thing. It's beautiful.
I got to go all these rinks.
Yeah, that's why I said you can recuse yourself if you want.
I'm fine. I got no problem. You know,
it's honesty.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
I'm not saying they're morons or idiots. I'm just...
Well, I might, but we'll see where we go with this. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.
You've been listening to Overdrive, delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com.